What's up, Commanders fans? Welcome back. We are back in the building. Brian Murphy to my, I guess that's my right, and then Anthony Armstrong right here, the original 1-3. We're back. It's another episode of Believe in Commanders, and it's a new dawn. It's a new day. There's a new QB in the burgundy and gold. Jaden Daniels has been selected as the number 2 overall pick. And, I mean, we were talking about this before we hit the record button that we mentioned this a month ago. Like, that's just, it's like, hey, that's got to be the play. Like, what other way can you go? But before we get deeper down into that, Brian Murphy, how are you doing, sir? Good to see your face. How's everything going for you?
Yeah, we're good, man. Added another addition like you guys. So the Murphy family, the Believing Commanders family is getting a little bit bigger. So baby number 3 came along in this last month. So that's why I've kind of been radio silent. But you can put all the mock drafts away. There's no more speculation. Jaden Daniels is our guy, and I am pumped. I'm excited to talk to you because I want to hear your thoughts on how it all went down. And like you said, it's a guy that we have kind of targeted in on for a while now, and it looked like the Commanders did too. And now we can celebrate and because we know who our quarterback is.
We do know who our quarterback is, and we know that the people in the front office for the Commanders must be listening to this show and maybe some of the other shows on the Believe Network. So do yourself a favor, comment, like, subscribe, share this with your other Commanders fans so that you can be in the know of what's going to happen with this team coming up, because we got the hot takes, folks. We got all the good news, and we've been hitting them out of the park every time we record something. So check out all those things. If you're on YouTube, make sure you hit that notification bell as well. That way you get to see our pretty mugs. Oh, and then also, I want to make sure you understand this, y'all. We have a wonderful sponsor, the folks over there at betonline.ag. If you're looking on YouTube, you get to see that screen. They have a 50% welcome bonus. They have all your sports that are out there. So, Brian, I don't know if you're watching playoff basketball. Are you watching playoff basketball?
It's more I'm kind of tuning in, looking at the box score. As games get close, I might turn on the end of the game. But I've been in draft mode for the most part. But I know next week I'm going to tune in big time as the second round kind of heats up.
It is getting close. I mean, you got to watch my Mavericks. They're going out there 1-1 with the Clippers right now. But you folks can bet on that at betonline.ag. Use our code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, to get your 50% welcome bonus. But Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Now, back to what it is and the happenings of last night. Jaden Daniels is the number two pick for the Commanders, and that was what everybody thought was happening. Mm-hmm. You know, I jumped onto another show, Ref the District, here on the Believe Network as well, right after that selection, and they said, "How'd you feel about it?" And I was like, "I am so glad that they didn't do anything other than that." Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you knew that there was always this chance of some off the wall trade, bounce back a pick. And then here goes this stumbling block of scenarios. I'm glad nothing happened. What about you? What'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, there was the J.J. McCarthy talk. There was Drake May. There was trading out. I mean, we heard every scenario possible. And I'm with you. I was like, just the obvious answer is take this guy. Go build an incredible offense around him with the coaches that you have in place and roll with it. And I'm glad that's what they ended up doing. I don't know about you, but I in years past, I've gotten caught up in being on Twitter and missing the pick live. So this year, I put my phone down, which is surprising for me, and I watched it live on my TV. So I didn't see anything like, you know, how they leak it out. You know, some of the writers love to be the first to put that information out there. So I really was on pins and needles until Roger Goodell said Jaden Daniels, which was kind of fun to do it that way. The rest of the draft, I had my phone out and was seeing picks ahead of time. But for the Commanders, it was fun to see it live. And yeah, I'm with you. It just was the obvious decision. I think, like we had already said, something that the conclusion that we came to a while ago, and it sounds like the Commanders, despite kind of keeping it tight-lipped, it sounds like Adam Peters kind of came to this decision a while ago. And it's a no-brainer, and I'm excited to see what Jaden Daniels does in Washington and what they continue to build around him and everything that goes along with that. Now we can kind of say, all right, get all that noise out of the way, and let's focus on Jaden Daniels. Let's focus on the team and continuing to build with these picks that they have coming up in the second and third round and beyond.
Yeah, I know a lot of people they'll start posting. I've seen the memes like, oh, is this history repeating itself? Second overall pick, quarterback with dreads, blue suit, a lot of things aligning, but much different leadership, much different ownership, right? It's a different era. Now, maybe you got a new version. You can learn from the past. You got a head coach that's learning from the past, who's got some pretty, you know, scary things that happened. 28-3, right? That's that's synonymous in Atlanta. That's something that's big, and we'll talk about them today too. Maybe they'd learn from that. So I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a great career. I think it's going to be exciting.
I do too. And yes, I get the comparison. Heisman Trophy winner, second overall pick, you know, a lot riding on this guy. But if you think back to RG3, the Washington moved up and gave up all of this real estate, you know, in that draft. I think they gave up their second round that year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the first round picks for the next couple of years. It kind of left all of the pressure on RG3, right? You are our guy. You are what we are staking this draft on, what we're staking these next few years on. I don't feel that way about Jaden Daniels. Yes, he has some pressure on his shoulders as the quarterback, the most important position in sports. You're the second overall pick. You were the second guy called last night. That's a lot of pressure. Yeah. But there are five picks coming up in the second and third round. They've added a lot in free agency. And like you said, the leadership is different. I don't think they're putting everything on Jaden Daniels. And that's the biggest difference for me, to where I don't think that history is going to repeat itself, because I don't think they're asking this guy to be the franchise. Will he be the face of the franchise? You hope so. But I don't think they're asking him to do everything like RG3 was asked to do.
And then when you also think about it, in that same draft with RG3, they selected Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a whole different dynamic. It's just weird how the universe works, that scenario kind of comes back around.
Yeah.
But you know, ultimately I think you got Jaden coming into a scenario where you really spent more financial draft pick wise, like you mentioned, draft capital to move up, to jump up, to get that, because of all the pressure to get a quarterback. Now frankly, fell into second. You just kind of fell up there, right? You didn't necessarily like stink on me. It wasn't a great season, mind you, but he didn't like, it just wasn't like pulling teeth all year to get the second overall pick. Things fell in place. Teams that were worse started winning. And then you just started, I'll skip the line. Look, Nuka falls into your lap, Jaden Daniels. So I think that he's a better passer than Robert was coming out of college. Just watching him play. I mean, different offenses. I remember running around with the Art Briles offense and hearing how they said it would be like, hey, this guy is going to be the guy that runs the goal ball this time. And then if he doesn't get open, then we'll send somebody else over there to run the goal ball. And then eventually we'll connect with him. What was happening down there in LSU with Jaden Daniels, Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, that was different. All of those guys are eating. So to me, you got a guy who's got a better arm. He's going to be able to handle throwing the ball all the way around. But speaking of all those different things, and speaking of these quarterback situations, what is your biggest draft night surprise?
Well, we've kind of teased it. And you guys know, if you listen to the show, that I'm down here in Atlanta. And I don't know where else you look at other than Michael Penix Jr. going 8th overall to the Falcons. I was texting some friends and you know Atlanta fans throughout the day. I was like, literally every mock draft had them taking Dallas Turner. Like, I thought that was a done deal. Like, if you went to Bet Online, I'm sure the odds were ridiculously in favor of Dallas Turner. Like, I don't know that I saw a mock draft where he wasn't the guy for Atlanta. You thought maybe could they get cute and add another weapon like they've been doing the last few years, add a Roma Dunze who was there. I did not expect quarterback. That felt out of the blue. And frankly, today we're recording this on Friday morning. I haven't seen one positive thing about Michael Penix Jr. And it's not and everybody loves the guy. And I love the player. I think he's a baller. It's the fact that there's also $100 million tied to the starting quarterback that you just signed a month or however long ago free agency was. That's the wild part. It's not a knock on Michael Penix. It's not even a knock on Kirk Cousins. It's the fact that now you have both, and it just doesn't make sense that you take a quarterback right there. A lot to unpack there, but Falcons fans are not too happy, and I haven't seen many positive takes on it.
I mean, just looking at it, I mentioned a second ago, it's very odd that Kirk Cousins signs a huge deal and then the same team goes and spends a high draft pick on a quarterback, not even a later round guy, maybe second round at the most. High, top 10 pick on a QB. And like you said, no knock to Michael Penix. It's, to me, if I'm Kirk Cousins, that's a slap in my face. Mm-hmm. He says he's I saw something that said he was disappointed about it. He's probably up there, dog, almost cussing. Mm-hmm. He might have said frick a few times. What the frick? Well, you know, and I know he doesn't have anything against Michael.
Right, Pence, right.
Right. But this is one of those things, like, are you thinking that far ahead? Right. Or, you know, now you have two quarterbacks that are coming off of major lower body injuries. Obviously, Penix has, you know, been back and healthy, but then you're going to have the people looking over Kirk Cousins' shoulder. If he throws an interception, now you got to say, are you going to go to the rookie?
Yeah.
If the rookie has a good preseason game, now are you going to, you got to put him in there. We need that electric excitement that comes from it, right? And then you got to think too, when the Justin Fields drama was going on. I say drama. They were like, hey, you could trade for Justin Fields, bring him back to Atlanta, hometown kid, second coming of Michael Vick. And then you go, frankly, the opposite direction. You get Kirk Cousins, but then now you draft his heir apparent.
Yeah. I don't feel bad for Kirk Cousins because he's getting paid and he's the starter, but you're right. It just opens the door to so many questions. Cause then the other question is, does this mean Kirk Cousins, you know, rehab is not going well? Is his Achilles not where it needs to be going into the, it just opens up so many other question marks that I think the Falcons could have avoided. And you're right. Kirk Cousins probably was going into last night, like, at the very worst, I'm going to get a pass rusher who could very likely turn the ball over for me and give me a short field. At best, I'm maybe getting a weapon. At no point did I think Kirk Cousins or any Falcons fans or the city of Atlanta think that they were going to get a backup quarterback with a top 10 pick. And that's what it comes down to. And that was the biggest surprise for me. I think it was the biggest surprise across the NFL.
It was a huge that made me get out my phone and start to tweet. We're talking about the draft here on Believe in Commanders. Got Brian Murphy over there hanging out with me, Anthony Armstrong, original 1-3. The draft results are up at the top. Top three picks for quarterback. We know those: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. Marvin Harrison Jr. just casually fell to Arizona. So you lose Hollywood Brown. And then you get a Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. Plus he's a high character guy who's now following the lineage of Larry Fitzgerald. So it's going to be exciting to see where he does.
Speaking of Marvin Harrison, I tweeted this out. I haven't really felt old before, but when they said that it had been 20 years and I think one day to the day that Larry Fitzgerald was selected by the Cardinals, that kind of put a little creak in my bones. And I was like, wait a second, Larry Fitzgerald was drafted 20 years ago, and we're talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. That was wild to me. But yeah, the Cardinals had to be like, pinching themselves that they arguably got maybe the best player in the draft at pick number 4.
Yeah, it's insane. Then the Chargers go get Joe Alt. I think that one kind of was a little, not, it's a head scratcher because I don't think I didn't see Alt going there. But hey, it's never a problem to get your quarterback some help, keep him upright. Malik Nabers is here with the Giants. J.C. Latham to Tennessee. Michael Penix Jr., we just mentioned that. Roma Dunze, he falls to Chicago, gets to team up with Caleb Williams. Those guys are exciting. That's going to be a dangerous offense. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a dangerous offense. J.J. McCarthy's in Minnesota. Olufashanu with the Jets. Bo Nix at 12. That was a surprise to me. Brock Bowers at 13. That's a hell of a steal. And then Tali Fuaga tackles Oregon State. So my biggest draft day surprise is those are 14 offensive players. I mean, you mentioned already Dallas Turner thought he would have been a top 10 pick. He falls all the way to 17. And that was a trade. Mm-hmm. Minnesota had to trade back up to go get Dallas Turner. So Dallas Turner was laying around. Latu was the first defensive player off the board. So that was my biggest surprise. Just thinking that there were some very talented players that deserve to be top 10 picks. But that also points out that people are willing to just go ahead and pay the price for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. All right. Even if they're not top 10 guys, it's fine to just pick them in the top 10 so that they're out of the way and you're good with it.
Yeah, and it kind of speaks to where the league is at. The first 12 picks were all quarterbacks, tackles, and wide receivers, and those seem to be the positions that are getting the highest price tag right now. So you're right, not just a quarterback, but teams are like, hey, instead of paying a wide receiver, you know, 30 mil or whatever it's at right now, let's go get a guy who's quote unquote cheap, who we can get a fifth year on, along with the tackles, because, you know, how many teams are starving for a left tackle? I mean, we're sitting here, the Commanders still have Cornelius Lucas penciled in as their left tackle after the first round. I mean, that is a hot commodity. And so that really kind of speaks to where the league is at. The fact that a defensive player doesn't even go until 15, and defense largely was an afterthought, I think, in this entire draft, at least for the first round. So there's going to be some real value, especially on the defensive side of the ball as you move along. I know some more defensive players got picked, but yeah, it just kind of speaks to where the NFL is at. You get your quarterback, you get him a weapon, and you get a guy who can protect him. And that's what the first 12 picks were all about.
Yeah, for sure. Speed, impactful players, playmakers, and then guys to allow those things to happen, being those big protectors. So the run on tackles was big. I think that the pick of Quinyon Mitchell, first DB off the board, to go to Philly, I was sitting there thinking, Philly's going to get a DB. And they went out there and got a dog. Still a couple of lesser-known DBs that are out there. And we mentioned these tackle positions. Do you have a player that you think that the Commanders could select? Or let me ask you this in more broad sense. What's more likely to happen? Okay, what's more likely to happen with these next couple of picks for Washington? Do you see them, number one, staying pat and drafting one of these positions of need, tackle or corner? Or do you see them trading around to try to package up some deals, make a better deal for something?
I think I'm assuming, and I don't know if we'll know for sure, but I'm guessing Adam Peters was trying to get back into the first round for a tackle. I think we heard kind of rumors of that. There were some tackles there at 19, 20. But like you said, there was a big run on those guys. To me, I think the smart play, and I don't know what's more likely, maybe the Commanders do love somebody that they are able to package some of these. I'd rather have more players. I'd rather take all five of those chances to get some guys that really help the team. I think you have a bunch of needs still, obviously tackle, but I don't think you have to force a tackle there. I think you can maybe get a weapon for Jane Daniels. You can get a defensive back if you like some of the guys that kind of fell out of the first round area. So I think it leaves leaves it open to take the best player available, and I think that's what they're going to do. I think if they feel like there's a tight end there at 36 that just is kind of otherworldly and can be a huge safety net for Jane Daniels, you go get that guy. But I just think it kind of opens you up. I wish they could have gotten a tackle somehow, because it would have been nice to get your quarterback and your left tackle in the first round. But I like the idea of just getting really good players, and I think that should be the play today, tonight, as the Commanders move forward.
Because they got rounds two and three tonight, right?
That's right. Yeah, so they should have, if they stay put, five picks. And I don't know when you're going to be listening to this, so you'll probably know what they did if you listen to this afterwards. But five potential picks is huge.
As it sits right now, they're sitting in second round, pick 36 and 40. Then the third round, pick 67 and 78. And then pick 100 in the third round. And that's available for them. But then if you start looking at some of the best available players right now, you talk about DBs. Cooper DeJean is a DB that's out there. Fellow out of Iowa. He's an all-around just talented guy. Kool-Aid McKinstry, you mentioned him. You start looking at Ladd McConkie, receiver. Ennis Rakeshaw is a DB. Keon Coleman, wide receiver, is out there as well. And then you start getting into some of those interesting players. Edgerrin Cooper is a linebacker out of Texas A&M. So
here's the thing to me is what I'm thinking. I think you take best player available at 36. Because you can kind of almost treat that as a luxury. Like, not many teams have two second round picks. Not many teams have two second round picks in the top, quote unquote, top 10 of the second round. So maybe you take the best player available. Maybe you make a little bit of a splash with that first pick, and then the second pick can kind of fill in a need. And there are plenty of guys there. You know, all those guys, defensive back, linebacker, wide receiver, all kind of positions that you're kind of looking at. And go from there. I think they're in a really good spot, and I think they're able to kind of match best of both worlds. Get a really good player, regardless of position, but also match it with a need. And I think that's available to them here at the top of the second round.
It really is. One pick that really surprised me. I don't want to say it surprised me, but the trade surprised me. The pick,
especially the history of these two teams. Also,
yes, the trade surprised me was Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs. That was the pick that I think somewhere back there. I was like, Xavier Worthy is a very fast human being. Matter of fact, when he ran his 4.2, I said, yeah, he's going to be a Chief. That looks like the 32nd overall selection. Yeah. He ended up going, I think, 21 with a trade, or the Chiefs traded with the Buffalo Bills. Now, why the hell y'all do that, Buffalo? You know that this has been the team that you've had to face in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs. They came to your crib last time and took you out. And then you went to their city and they took you out. Now you're going to trade them an opportunity to get the fastest man in the draft with the quarterback who's got the strongest. That right there, those two things don't mesh to me.
Yeah.
Pick up a seventh round pick or whatever else you got from it, but it don't make that much sense.
Yeah, especially since the Bills also traded the pick that the Chiefs used to get Patrick Mahomes. Like, you're just kind of opening yourself up for this question. And we don't know at this point what Xavier Worthy is going to be, but the fact that you're just, why are you helping? Like, it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan.
Man, and I mean, the thing is he's not a one-trick pony. Worthy can run routes. He can stop on a dime. He can obviously take the top off. He's very talented.
And Andy Reid's one of the best minds in the game. I mean, think about some of the players who have scored big touchdowns for them in the Super Bowl in previous years. You had Kadarius Toney. You had Sky Moore. You had Mecole Hardman coming back. I mean, this is just another weapon that you're giving. This is just another game plan that you're going to have to scheme up now when you face these guys. Like, I don't understand it as well.
I mean, hell, if anything, you would think, I mean, I know that, you know, maybe Worthy wouldn't have enjoyed Buffalo, but hell, you need to pick Xavier Worthy because you just lost Stephon Diggs, and you need to, you have a big armed quarterback too, right? So maybe that would have made more sense. Buffalo ends up not picking in the first round. They have the first selection of this upcoming round, so they'll be ready to go. They're on the clock right now. We'll see what they do. All in all, man, it was an exciting night. What other teams or what other picks did you like? Is there anybody else that you saw that you think they did something well in the draft?
Well, you mentioned the Eagles. I hate that they always draft well, getting that corner and then not having to move at all to do so. It's always frustrating when a team like that in your division does really well. I think that the Bengals getting Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia, they've got a couple of good tackles and they're just building up depth. And this is a guy who I think the Commanders were kind of tied to about moving up in the first round. So those were a couple of positions I like. And then Chop Robinson, man, him going to the Dolphins just seems like a perfect fit, especially with Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips being banged up. He might step in and be a 10 sack a year kind of guy. So a couple of big name players that just kind of feel like they fell down the draft board because of the run on quarterbacks and that sort of thing. So a couple of teams really drafted well.
Did you mention Brock Bowers?
You did. That's a solid pick for the Raiders, who you have to imagine they kind of just didn't find a partner to get up and get a quarterback. So what do? You take maybe the most versatile weapon in the entire draft.
You know, and the thing is Aiden O'Connell, I mean, he played well last year. They had some.
Gardner Minshew. I mean, you don't have an awful quarterback room.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones that's, yeah, sure, it's not the big name, and I know that's what people fall in love with, but, you know, I was intrigued with the fact that this draft, there weren't a lot of trades. I think everybody went trade crazy last year, and they saw teams do that, and they're like, hold on a second. You're not going to trade with us and quickly, you know, jump up the board. I mean, you think about it. You were able to sit back and let these good players fall to you. I mean, the big draft pick for me, I think I'm all over the Brock Bowers when I knew somebody was going to benefit from that. Top 10 player was going to fall into the teens. Dallas Turner, Minnesota did a good job, I think, this draft. You get a quarterback and McCarthy, and you're doing two trades. You know, I don't know why you trade up one spot, but whatever. Do your thing.
I'm wondering, I read something that maybe they panicked a little bit when Atlanta took Michael Penix, and they're like, oh man, we're going to lose out. Are the Raiders kind of banging down the door of the Jets right now? Do we need to move up? So it's weird to say, but the Jets might have pulled one over on the on the Vikings and been able to get some more capital by just moving back one spot. But I agree with you. Like, the trading is a great theory on the surface, but you have to remember you're giving up later picks. Like, I guarantee that Adam Peters wanted to move up in the first round, but I also guarantee that those teams were asking for both of those second round picks. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's great. Or I could take two really good players in the second round as opposed to one guy in the mid-20s or whatever it was.
Yeah, it would have to be the right guy. I mean, like, honestly, hey, if a Brock Bowers would have fell, I'd have jumped all over that, right? You know, I'd have said make that move, but like, once again, there's still some talented players out there. I could just see, you know, the Jets on the phone. They're like, oh snap, it's O'Connell, it's the Vikings. Hey, in about 5 seconds, say what's up, Antonio? And so they're like, hello, this is the Jets. Hey, what's up, Antonio? Oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, crap. They're doing a deal with, you know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, we want to make this trade. That will move up a spot. Like, okay, we'll take that extra pick. I can see that happening. That'd be
NFL teams, specifically the Commanders, need to bring us in just to be those voice actors in the background. Just all the crazy scenarios to get them more real estate like that.
Oh, man. Yes, indeed. I think that'd be good. Oh, man.
Terry is not available, but.
Yeah, right.
If you're offering.
Yeah, let's talk turkey, right? Man, who else did good in this draft? I think, honestly, I like the pick that the Packers had with Jordan Morgan, the guy that I had on my list to make his way to Washington. And Matt LaFleur sneaks in and grabs him. And he's been doing a great job of getting guys on the field. Let's see. I have a reach for me. I do like the pick of Tyler Guyton to Dallas. I think that's a good selection. I would have loved him to be in Washington. But Xavier Leggett. Mm-hmm. The receiver out of South Carolina, the size speed combination got him a first round selection because you saw that Worthy was gone. I bet that Carolina probably had their eyes on Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
And then he goes up to 28, I should say, not 21, 28 to Kansas City. So, you know, Leggett got himself to be a first round pick for that.
Speaking of receivers, I think, and I wanted to ask you this. I think the pick just before that, Ricky Pearsall from Florida to go to the 49ers, is that kind of hinting that Ayuk or Samuel is out the door at some point this weekend?
I could see somebody.
Because also then you hear Jaden Daniels. He keeps talking about Brandon Ayuk. They played together at Arizona State. Could the Commanders make a move for him? Could somebody make a move for him? And is this Kyle Shanahan knowing that he's going to be losing a weapon and trying to get a cheap one in replacement?
Well, you know, yes, you get ahead of those things. But I think what one thing that comes to mind for me is that Kyle Shanahan and guys like, you know, Sean McVay, they pay attention to each other and they see what type of success that they've had. And there's a guy that the Rams had last season that just jumped onto the scene. Puka Nacua.
Mm-hmm.
6'2", 201, very smooth route runner, obviously came in and impacted the game, broke things down. Ricky Pearsall, 6'1", about 190, smooth route runner. And Kyle Shanahan likes a silky smooth route runner if he can get him one. I promise you, they're trying to get some more, probably a more traditional pass catcher, route runner out there. I like Deebo Samuel because he's an overall playmaker. But if they move Deebo, it's probably because they want to get somebody that they're going to be able to push more downfield rather than having to just go with quick screens and you know, more unique ways to get him the football. So what I see is that Puka Nacua, with his draft and his production, probably got Ricky Pearsall brought in, especially with San Francisco. So, yeah, I could see one of those two guys being out in San Francisco.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think there could be some moves, maybe for the lack of moves. I mean, I guess towards the end of the first round, there were some trades happening. But I wonder if day two and day three kind of pick up with some, maybe a player moving for a mid-round pick, all that kind of stuff. That's what gets exciting about the draft, and you never know what can happen. So we're sitting here recording knowing that the Commanders have 5 picks, but by the end of the night, it could be totally different. But that's what makes it fun, and that's what I'm excited to see, the wheeling and dealing and the guys that come up with.
Yes, indeed. Hey, folks, y'all do us this favor. Jumping in the conversation, what do you think? Obviously, Jaden Daniels was a selection, but what do you think? What was your biggest surprise for this draft, for just round one? Yeah. All right, let us know at Believe Commanders on Twitter, X, TikTok. You can just join in, and we would love to have that combo.
And yesterday was an awesome day. Obviously, they got Jaden Daniels, but I don't know if you guys saw 28 forever in the Raptors. Now, Daryl Green, one of the best players, one of my favorite players of all time.
Yes.
He is getting his jersey retired. So that was a big deal. I love Daryl Green. I think all Commanders fans do. So the fact that he's getting that love, 28 is going up and not being worn again. Really cool.
Yes. Shout out to him. And if you haven't seen the video, go check out the Commanders video. It gives you the chills. And having met Daryl and played ball with his son Jared and then just gotten to know him, and such a great person, and so happy and proud of him. And I have other news in Washington football news. Mike Sellers had heart transplant and he is recovering quickly and he's been up walking around. So keep him in your thoughts.
Yeah.
Keep him in your prayers, him and his family. Just, you know, wish him a recovery, you know, so make sure the big 45 is doing good. So y'all make sure y'all pour some love into him and his family. Right. But hey, for Brian Murphy, I'm Anthony Armstrong. We appreciate y'all taking the time to listen to us, share this with somebody, and we'll see you guys with another episode of Believe in Commanders coming up soon. Talk to y'all next one.